What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Rip City Rundown podcast. This podcast is being recorded. This is Sunday morning before the final game of the season against the Lakers. The Blazers have already obviously been eliminated from the playoffs, and they're pretty much locked in to the ninth best odds in the lottery. We're actually favored today because the Lakers are, of course, resting all their guys because they're locked into the three seed. So we're going to go ahead and just, before the season technically ends, go ahead and kind of just give our reaction, grades, however you want to say it, for this season and look forward to a summer, which I want to say probably has maybe the least amount of questions that a Blazers summer has had in a couple summers. I feel like we kind of finally have our direction. We're probably having expectations rise a little bit throughout the summer, and we'll kind of just discuss everything revolving around that. West, last time we talked, we were kind of, I don't want to say in the thick of the plan, but we were a couple games back of the plan with a lot of games left. So there was hope. There was a slight shot. You were a little more like, let's just kind of ride it out. If we get in there, we get in there. If we don't, we don't. But we've got bigger fish to fry in the future. So how are you feeling? Are you disappointed that the plan didn't come around at all?
No, I'm not disappointed. I'm doing great, though. You could say it's Sunday before the last day of the NBA season. I tell you it's Sunday before the final round of the Masters. Today is the final round of the Masters. Just literally 10 seconds about that. I would love for Rory McIlroy to win. I know you would, too. Nothing against Bryson. Would love to see him get it done and finish the career Grand Slam and finally just win there. But like you said, with the play-in, with the Blazers, I'm not that disappointed. I really thought that for the direction of the franchise, the best thing to do this year was to do what, I don't know, like Brooklyn did, or I really don't want to say what Utah or Washington did, because like it was so bad for them. Like, that's a horrible year. Like, yeah. I think there was definitely value in winning some games and seeing kind of different guys step up and win us games, like a Denny, a Tumani, a Scoot, like a Shaden. We learned things about those guys this year that I don't think you would have learned as much if you were that committed to a tank. But with that being said, I think it's similar to like the golf analogy or the golf thing I just said, like, you know, when you don't, it was just a little sloppy from Joe Cronin, you know, not cleaning up for those pars, you know, not really having a great strategy with the tank, just a little sloppy, kind of spraying it all over the place. Do we win here? Do we lose here? Like, we're going to pull Denny in a spot late in the fourth where we might still make the play. And I just thought Joe was a little non-committal at points in the season on it, which, you know, it was probably changing. His perspective of the team probably kept changing. He's like, maybe we are better than I thought. But again, like, as a GM, you have to have a good vision. You have to commit to that vision. So I think Joe struggled a bit there. But off the top, speaking of Joe, got that extension. I don't think we've talked about that on air since that happened. Where are you on that?
No, we haven't. And I will get into that extension. But before I get into that extension, I want to thank our sponsor of today's podcast. That, of course, is Underdog Fantasy. Because the 2025 playoffs, you know, the Blazers might not be in it, but they are just around the corner. And there's going to be a lot of good basketball going on in the months of April, May, and June. And you can get on the action on Underdog Fantasy, where you can sign up and deposit using code RCR to receive up to $1,000 in bonus credit and a free pick. All you got to do is pick higher or lower on different player projections. And again, you can win up to 1,000x your money. Again, that is code RCR when signing up. Of course, the playoffs are one of the best times to get in on Underdog Fantasy.
Question.
Talk to me.
You know, you get up to 1,000 in the match. Where are you putting your money? Like, who do you have winning the NBA championship right now? Who do you have coming out of each conference? How about that?
I will say I'll be very boring, and I think it'll be OKC out of the West, and it'll be Boston out of the East. However, if you're giving me, if I'm going with a little more of a
value
sleeper pick, the East is just like, I just don't see if anyone other than those two up top in Cleveland and Boston. But I will say the Lakers, Clippers, Golden State, like one of those, I could see it. I don't see Denver anymore. I just think the vibes in Denver are bad, but I will be looking at a little Luka Doncic higher on anything in the playoffs, because I just think he's going to be a different animal in the playoffs. But let's get back to the Blazers. Joe Cronin, he gets his extension, kind of comes out of nowhere. I don't even know if the details of his previous contract were out there. Like, was he on his last year? Did he have one more year? I doubt he was down to his last year or anything. But that was one of the questions I had for you. So I'll answer it, and then I'll just send it back to you where you're at. For me, it's kind of just like, I don't care. It doesn't really do anything for me. I'm not actively saying Joe's got to go, because I think there's been things that Joe's done that's just been great for the Blazers. Like, to turn Dame into what it's turned into, whether I like how it got there or not, the fact that we've got Denny and Tumani as kind of some centerpieces of the future, that's really valuable. And then, honestly, like we talked about it, we did sell probably high. On to sell at the highest point, maybe not the highest point, but one of the highest points for Dame. Now, I do think if he was still in Portland, he'd probably be taking away health, because he obviously can't control that. I think just no matter what, no matter where he got traded, he was going to just take a step back, because I just think he was never going to match what he was doing in Portland. But I think Joe Cronin's done a solid job. Like you said, there's been some kind of communication. There's been some kind of on figuring out kind of what exactly are we doing. Like, it's almost like we're in the middle, but at the same time we're not, because he did kind of commit to the rebuild. I think drafting wise, he hasn't necessarily done an amazing job. I think Sharp is a solid pick. We've yet to see if he can turn into kind of that guy. Scoot was just obviously he was going to pick him, and Scoot's at least kind of gotten his stock back up to a solid level. Honestly, Scoot was like what happened a couple days ago in the stock market. Like, it went down really bad for a while, but he's at least kind of got it back up to a solid point. And then, of course, like your Chris Murray's, your repairs, like doesn't do anything for me, but those are second round and late first round picks. But for me, I mean, I'm doing a lot of talking, but I probably could have said no words, because it's just like, it's an extension for a GM. I don't care when other teams' GMs get extended, because like I'll have more thoughts if Chauncey gets an extension. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think off the top, Joe Cronin is, I think he's done enough to get an extension. I'll start there. I think our perspective, or like the way we view Joe Cronin, and when I say we, I mean like probably general Blazer fan base. So I'm not speaking for everyone here, but maybe the general sentiment is that, you know, his first big move was trading away like the most beloved player of the franchise's history. Like, you're not going to really be,
I mean, his first actual move as an interim was the like Strand CJ and all of them.
Oh yeah.
It's hard to be like really happy, because he just took away what was the team for the longest time.
Right. And
even though it was probably warranted.
Correct. I think it was warranted at, you know, You could argue till the day you die if the Dame thing was warranted or not. But I think CJ was. That had been a conversation about him moving on for 5 years before that. And then, you know, who's going to get upset about a GM trading Robert Covington and Norm? As good as Norm's been. But again, like our general sentiment of Joe Cronin, he traded Dame. It's like, oh, goodness, here we go. Like, it's finally happened. I think for where the Dame situation was, and I mean, my goodness, if you guys who are listening want to hear our thoughts, we've talked about it so many times, so we're not going to go into it. But it was tricky, and I think coming out of that, ultimately, I think Joe Cronin did a good job there. I think Joe Cronin did it all, and like you got Denny, nailed the Denny trade. You were insistent, and again, people who are Joe Cronin haters will probably be like, oh, he wasn't really doing this. He got lucky, but he got Kamara in that trade. Like, no one's going to know if like he was like, I need to have Kamara, or if he was just like, can we take a flyer on this guy?
Yeah, that's all that matters.
We got him. That's all that matters. And then, I mean, I think he's drafted fine. I think Klingon, Scoot, and Sharp, I don't think none of them are going to be busts. The Blazers are also in this interesting spot where, like, we're a tanking team, you know, but none of those three guys that we've drafted are, like, leading or, like, the leaders of the team. So we still don't have that, like, full, I don't know, like, picture of what they can be. Because, for example, like, Castle has had about, he's had all year, I know he played with Wemby, maybe, like, half a season to be the guy. And you have, like, I don't know, like, Sarr, like, who is Sarr? Sarr gets a free runway. Yeah. Brandon Miller. I just think Joe has on the other side been a little bit of a like, I don't know about that. is, you know, Jeremy Grant just kind of dealing with
that's all the biggest thing.
But one thing I do want to say is I think he's done a good job. And I think there are some spaces in the Blazers fandom universe that won't admit he's doing a good job because they have so much bias built up over things that they just personally didn't like. Not saying they weren't the right, like Dame didn't like it. I didn't like it. But like, are we going to judge do you think Boston liked it when they traded away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett?
Probably not.
Guess what? As a fan, if you like something, that does not mean it's the right move.
Yeah.
So that's all I'd say. I think he's done a good job if people could just open their eyes and not be biased.
Yeah, if I had to grade it, I'd give him like somewhere in the B range. I think like he's done things great. And then at the same time, I just think the fact that like you got guys like Robert Williams and Jeremy still on the team. Like I think at some point, and I think this hopefully is something that can come in the summer. Like now that you've truly seen that you have forwards that are really good and you have a young center that was a very solid rookie that will be on an all rookie team. Like you have the flexibility to get rid of some of these guys, no matter, even if it's not for crazy value. Like I really think at this point, I'd be fine trading Robert Williams if it was just for like a second, man. Like I kind of just want to just flip the page and move on. Jeremy's one of those guys where, first off, I don't think Jeremy's played a game in April since 2021. He has never played a game in April with the Blazers, which is wild. I hope that's, well, he hasn't played this year, and I'm pretty sure I saw that stat last year. So he hasn't played a game in April. And like,
yikes.
You can't tell me if Jeremy is on the team next year, like, what is he? He's a $30 million guy coming off the bench that's going to be like Carmelo coming off the bench because he kind of wants to take some shots, get his mid-range ISOs. Like, it's kind of like, just kind of been phased out, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I feel like we do this every summer, but you got to move on from Jeremy. Like,
Move on from Jeremy. Like, Simons, I'm a little, it depends on what you do in the draft. Like,
if I was giving a message to Joe about Jeremy Grant, it is okay if you don't win that trade.
Like, it's okay. I think at this point, you have kind of, by not trading him, you've just accepted that you're probably going to lose the trade. Just kind of at this point, just do it before you catastrophically lose it and you have to like freaking buy him out or something. Or
yeah, like get something that you can see what you have with or whatever. Exactly. I don't even think I said that right. But yeah, I think Jeremy Grant is like an obvious, he should probably be moved on. Now Simons, a little less obvious. Where are you with Ant?
I'm kind of like, if we traded him, that's where it's like, okay, if you're going to trade him, I'd like to not necessarily win the trade, but I'd like to get something back that I can be slightly excited about, whether that's first, whether that's a good player, whether that's a solid fit for the team. I think Simon still is at the point in his career where he has value to another team, and he still has value to this team. Because again, as good as Sharp has been down the stretch, I want to see Sharp do it from the start of the season and kind of actually like kind of take the lead ball handler scorer role like by the nuts and go do it. I think Simon still is better at doing that despite having some times where he's a poor shooter and kind of is a very streaky guy. But Simon, Grant and William, Robert Williams is one of those guys where it's like, okay, you got Ayton and like I'm cool with keeping Ayton at this point.
Well, here's the really interesting thing about the NBA is I'm pivoting a little bit, but it has to do with our roster, is that teams get these like 3-year windows where they're like set up great. And the point that I'm trying to make is like, you could argue that the Blazers in terms of being set up with like the potential, what they have are like a top 6 team in the West. Like out of the other tanking teams, I trust the Blazers in the future more than the Jazz. The Jazz are, who knows what they're doing. I trust them more than, as I'm trying to pull up these standings and my...
No, you like them more than Utah. You like them more than New Orleans. But like them more than Phoenix.
But
you like them more than Dallas, probably.
Dallas is interesting.
Sacramento,
but like,
probably.
Even like, it's going to sound stupid, but what's OKC going to do when they have to pay everyone?
I don't know.
Like, I'm just telling you, like, Houston, for example, they're the 2 seed now. Last year didn't make the playoffs. The year before, they were literally buns. It's the cycle of like contention happens so fast. At least like truly contending. The Blazers from 2014 to 2020 were contending, but we never made that last step to really give us three awesome years. And then like we were content with like seven good years, maybe get lucky, as opposed to like three, we're going for it. And if we don't, we got to rebuild. So you could argue, that's a whole nother like conversation of which one you'd rather have. It's a good argument. Like, do you want 3 years of like legit chance to go to the finals, or 7 years of like, we're going to be in the playoffs, could win the first round, and then we just need a great path and some fortune to get there? It's an interesting conversation. But the point is, would not be surprised if like the Warriors, like what are the Warriors going to be in 2-3 years, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why like tanking is, or at least like rebuilding, retooling is good, because you get to reset your clock on like your money and your age, and you have more flexibility. But once you get to the brink of contention, if you really want to win, you got to really commit to it. Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying is like, I would not be surprised if the Blazers are pushing for a home play-in game, maybe. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to say they're going to do what Houston did, yeah, but they I think have now taken this, like they are a well set up lottery team, I think.
I agree. And we'll get kind of to lots of questions down the stretch on, and we'll go ahead and hop into them now.
Okay.
Well, I'll get to like the expectations for next year later, because I want to start here just looking at this season. Like, give it a letter grade on this season, taking everything into account, not just against expectations. Basically, like you could say that a 27 win team, because they have better lottery odds, would have been a perfect season.
How about this? Where do you think we'll break that up into some categories? What would you grade our like player development or like players?
I'll give it a B+.
I was going to be in that range too,
I think, because the reasoning for that is obviously Denny and Tumani are the two most, like, I am so excited about the future for them. Loved what I saw from Klingon down the stretch. Sharp, while it's kind of a slow burn because he comes in spurts, he's showing kind of more and more as we go again, but I love to see it earlier in the season. That comes with expectations.
What's the Shane?
What do you say?
What's the Shane stat?
Only guy with two games of 35, 5-5 under 21 or something like that, which is crazy, still under 21.
Sharp, Paolo, and Wimby.
Yeah, and Sharp's the only one with two. Scoot. Yeah. Oh, yeah, three. Scoot, I can't be mad. Like, going out of last year, it was like, oh boy, this is going to look really, really bad if Scoot ends up being like this his whole career. Not only because he's a third overall pick, but because he is kind of just like, he's the fork in the road to when we moved on from Dame. So that would have sucked if he was really bad, but he's at least shown signs of life that he can be a solid guard in this league. And of course, come year three, hopefully he can make another step. And then other guys, like, no one else really to talk about, but when it comes to the players, to answer your question, B+. It's been solid. I can't be mad.
I would say very similar thing. I guess the next bucket or grade we can give is like maybe from the GM level, like the direction, or maybe like how that the season was executed in that way.
I'll give that a B. I think I just don't think if we went, I think it would have been impossible to have a B+ in player development with having 26 wins or 23 wins. I think you kind of had to pick and choose on where you're at. And I personally, solely just, if this was like the NFL and you were guaranteed to get the first overall pick with the worst record, then I'd say like, okay, let's go do that. But it's the lottery and you're not guaranteed anything. You're more guaranteed things when you have guys on your actual roster. So I personally am glad that this is how the season turned out, where we actually see positive signs and hope for the future of guys on the roster, versus kind of where we've been at the last 2-3 years, where we're like, we've been really bad, but if we get this one guy, then it'll be good. And it's just,
yeah,
I take my 2% chance at Coop or whatever we're at right now.
Yeah, I'd probably give it like a B-, maybe C+.
It's fair.
I mean, C's average, so I mean, I'm still being kind of nice, or we'll say B's average here, so pretty much just average for me. It's just, I feel like we just vault right into contention with Cooperman, and like, and again, this is kind of unfair to the Blazers, because I didn't like come to that conclusion until after watching the tournament.
Yeah.
So it's hard to like, but we knew he was going to be really good anyway.
But my question is, do you think that it would have been possible to kind of have this much excitement about the guys on the roster and be that bad? Like, I feel like the only way we were going to be that bad is if Denny isn't what he is, or if we have some bad injuries or something like that.
I agree that, no, I agree with you in the sense that, I mean, what, the bottom four, the New Orleans is the fourth best odds. So they're in that bottom tier. They're the best team in the bottom tier, and they won 21 games. So, look, I agree with you there, but, I mean, maybe I am nitpicking, but, I mean, we should be behind San Antonio. They're better than us. We should be behind, like, Toronto. I don't know. I just think that getting 5 years of, like, team control on flag.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But, again, we could still get that. That's the thing about the lottery. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't know if you had this planned for later in the show, but the NBA, I think, is a fan of Coop in Portland.
We could get into that, but we will get into the draft at the end. Let's move. We'll do quick here. Who's your biggest positive of the year? Like, it can be a storyline, it can be a player, it can be a coach, it can be a GM.
I mean,
it can be anything.
It's one of two guys, and I'm going to say it's Denny.
Yeah, and I'll just piggyback on that. I think it's Denny, and then the other guy, of course, you probably are saying is Tumani. Like,
yeah.
You've got two wings for the future.
Yeah, I mean, Denny, yeah, he's everything about, as who was it, Kenny Smith? Everything he did on that. Sorry.
Honestly, I just like everything about them is just
everything that
I love it.
Denny's about, I love. Like, contract is great. Play style is great. I think he's a good teammate.
Hustle.
He obviously gets numbers. He's young. So that was one of those. Again, that's why I went, go back to like when you're a fan. Like, I remember where I was when that trade went down, and I was like, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, what, my opinion?
We really were just like, oh, he's got a great contract. Like
two
sure.
Two firsts for Denny Avdija. Joe, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But one first was Bub Carrington. So here you go, Washington. Take Bub.
Yeah, I personally don't want Bub. Okay, that's our positive. What's your biggest negative of the year? You could argue that not being in the top of the lottery could be a negative.
I'll probably go with Myers Leonard becoming a country music artist. No, for real, it would. Okay, the biggest negative, which again,
Delano Banton
shoots a lot, man. That man was there. There was a time he was like
never seen a shot he doesn't like.
Top five NBA in usage rate, like that. Something doesn't add up there. Yeah. You said it. It's very hard to have both these things be true, but I would just say not positioning ourselves better in the lottery. But
I think as a whole, I think it's just the way we. The fact that I'm saying this is the biggest negative, I don't think this is the biggest negative, but I'm just going to say a negative, is the way we handled the end of the season. I just think that you tried to put your hand in both cookie jars. Like, I get that we're four games back and we still wouldn't have probably made the plan, but when you're winning games, you've got, like, there's got to be a point if you really want to get in the top of the lottery or just a solid lottery position. You've got to just like pull the plug early. You got to stick to your process. And if you're going to go for the plan, stick to that process too. I really am tired of like the pulling guys trying to lose games when you still are in contention. I hate that idea. It's just bad for just basketball in general.
Well, that I have another biggest negative. It's Duop Arif being in the league, shooting 42%, 32 from three. I'm just kidding, Duop. I love you.
You like Duop.
But you're literally there to shoot threes and you're whatever. It's fine. Yeah, I mean, just the whole way the season happened. I just think it was, I think as from a fan's perspective, it was a little difficult to really understand what we were doing, I think. And I think not that we're obligated to know, but I was a little confused at times. I think Scoot was another positive, but Scoot did the thing where he was like so bad last year that we just had to reset expectations.
Yeah, and he started off the year really bad, but then he kind of turned it around. I'll just say multiple negatives. Jeremy, negative. I mean, 37% from the field is atrocious.
No, awful year, and he would sit.
Delano Banton, negative, 39% from the field, 32 from three. That's pretty awful, Delano. What's your assist rate? 1.8 assist to turnover. Can't even be mad at that because it's only 0.1 behind Scoot. We just have a bad assist to turnover when it comes to the entire team. And then, of course, you know, it was a make or break year for this guy. Chris Murray, 22% from three. Not going to cut it, big guy. I didn't realize it was that bad.
I neither. Wow.
42, 22. I kinda like him, though. 45 from the line.
I kind of like him. Well, how many free throws did he shoot all year? Like eight?
He shot 0.8 a game.
So he shot 75 free throws in the season, 70 free throws.
I wonder if it's even possible.
That's a big sample size to shoot 45%.
I mean, 45%, 22 from three, Chris. Like, what are you doing? I mean, it's such a low sample size. Jabari had a good year. 38 from three, 52. Okay. But that's good. That's enough negatives. Okay, we talked about Joe Crone. He was my next question, but we already hit it.
Chance?
Next question. Should we extend Chauncey? Or do we go after another coach? There's some very quality and whatever the other, I don't know, very quality coaches out there.
With the two coaches that are now on the market because of whatever happened in those situations, I would rather have those two. And by those, we're talking about Taylor Jenkins and Michael Malone. I know you mentioned you'd rather have Taylor Jenkins, which I'm not, like, we're not here to argue who'd rather have. I think Taylor Jenkins would be great. But I would rather have Taylor Jenkins than Chauncey.
Yeah,
I agree. Malone's, you know, you expressed he's a little better with veteran teams. But if those two aren't available, I want to be careful that I'm not, like, just giving Chauncey the benefit of the doubt because he's been here. He's been here a long time.
Is this year five? This is year four, I think. That's a lot. Sure?
It's year four?
Yeah, it's year four. It's year five's next year. But it was originally a five-year deal, but we didn't pick up the option going into this year.
I would not be super upset if we kept him, but I'd rather have Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah, I'd probably rather just go a different direction. But of course, in a vacuum, I don't want to just fire him just to fire him. I saw someone say the interim for Denver and Adelman. I don't know if there's any relation to, what was it, Rick Adelman for the Blazers. Maybe it is. But there's guys out there that I think would be better than Chauncey. I definitely don't want to extend him heavily. But I do think seeing a Joe extension, Chauncey was a Neil hiring. So I don't know if that has anything to do. I don't know if the Joe extension has any implications on Chauncey, but I think we're in the same boat. Like he I can't even like fault him for this year. I want to say like he probably coached a pretty good year because he got this team to 35 wins. And definitely wasn't Chauncey that was like, oh, you know what? Let me just lose games here down the stretch for no reason. It wasn't him because he's trying to get another job somewhere if he doesn't end up in Portland forever. So Chauncey, should we extend him? No. Would I be mad if we did? I'd have the same reaction as Joe. It'd just be meh. Probably a little worse than if we extended Joe. Next question, just a couple more to end it out. Do I do this question first? You can answer which question you want to do first. Any big moves this offseason or expectations for next year? And the other one would be your prediction for the draft. You can kind of go whichever way you want to first. By big move, I mean like, do we trade a Simons, the pick, Scoot and something pick else for a all-star caliber player? Trae Young, ew.
No, we're not going to do that. Okay. I don't think so. In terms of expectations, I think I will really be able to answer that question after the draft because there are some win-now guys in the lottery and there are some more project guys. And for example, I think Con Knipple is a win-now guy.
Me too.
Like, I think he's NBA ready. He's got the size. He's got the length.
So would you rather them go with a win now guy or a project guy? And then just if you had to answer right now, what is a successful season next year? And what is like, oh my gosh, why is this? What's a fail season? Is it just getting in the plan?
I think a fail season is like, I don't know. I actually don't know. Is it? I don't want to say it's like being the lottery because we'll like odds are we probably are in the lottery. unless we get like a stud, I guess. But
I guess it's like you're at the point where this is what you'll be going into year four of a rebuild. Year three and a half. You just kind of started rebuilding at the deadline of the final Dame year. I think we initially said when we first traded Dame, we were like, guys, be prepared. You're not going to be in the playoffs until 2027. Or maybe we said 2026. I don't know. But I think you're at the point where I'd be disappointed if we're not in the plan next year.
That's fine. I can get behind that. Because
at some point you gotta move up. And
yeah,
if we don't make it next year, then odds are we're still at a point where we don't have the guy that's going to be the star on the team. And then it's like, oh, we're just searching again. It's making the plan kind of ends up.
It's unfortunate that Coop is like the best fit for this team in probably the next 3-4 years, but it is what it is, I guess.
Hey, some would say we're due.
Some would say, Cole. Some would say. I think drafting a Coop and Ace Bailey's a little more like we need some development. But drafting, you know, a Con, I think drafting like Edgecombe, guys like that, like Igor Demon, no thanks. Casper, I mean, guard, but I guess sure. I don't really want Dylan Harper. We're in the same thing, man. Like we haven't. When's the last time we were like we need to draft a guard? Like literally.
I do think we're at the point where we're just like we can take anybody. Ability.
Which is like, good. I mean, that means our team has improved.
Yeah.
It means we don't have a glaring black hole out of position.
You were mentioning something earlier that I guess we can go ahead and get to. You've been hearing some rumors that the NBA wants Coop in Portland. I'm kidding. Oh, that's not true. But looking at the standings, like genuinely, I don't know if there's a – I think Portland would be top three best destination in the NBA headquarters.
Let's say what are the top three destinations you think the NBA would want from teams in the top 10? I'll say Utah. I think they're fine with Utah.
Yeah, I don't know.
They don't want New Orleans. I think they'd be San Antonio's an interesting one. It's like, do you really want that? And like, ruin
I don't think they want San Antonio.
But I think they want a West team, so we get the Cooper Wimby like.
I could see them being fine with Charlotte. I think Charlotte
is like a piss poor ran franchise.
You're right. You're right, actually. But I think a Charlotte LaMelo or a LaMelo and what'd you say?
Brooklyn.
I think they'd be cool with Brooklyn. I think of the three terrible teams, they definitely don't want Washington, Utah. Charlotte, they'd be a little more eh.
Not want New Orleans.
Zion, New Orleans, I think, is worst case scenario because we saw what happened with Zion. You get no marketing down there.
Phoenix, they don't deserve anything down there.
I think Houston's got Phoenix's pick too. That's top 10.
They'd love Houston. They would love Houston. Are you kidding me? Wimby and Coop in the same state.
True.
They'd love Houston. What about if Coop went to the six?
Yeah, Toronto, ew. Philly. Low-key, he'd like, if they could just move on from Embiid, he'd sneaky fit in Philly because I feel like it's just a white dude that's like all fired up. And
you know Philly loves their white guys.
Literally. Like, think of him, Harper, and Hurts.
Freaking Jason Kelce back then.
I mean, yeah. Like, Philly just, I feel like he's got kind of a Philly FU attitude, but. I also think the attitude's kind of overblown and stupid.
Yeah, Philly's an overrated.
But I genuinely think Portland, if you're looking at like building with other young guys, I think it's Portland, man.
Yeah, like is one of them. Who's the best? Who's like the top couple young players NBA would love to pair Coop with? I guess Scoot's in there.
I don't know if Scoot has the pedigree.
I'm looking at it right now. Utah doesn't have anyone.
No.
New Orleans doesn't have anyone.
Washington doesn't.
You could say Wimby, I guess.
I think they'd be excited for a LaMelo, Brandon Miller, Cooper pairing.
Okay. Charlotte. No one in Washington. I think Maxey is still young enough to qualify.
Maxey, pandemic.
No one in Brooklyn. There's no one in Brooklyn. Nope. And like Scotty Barnes, bro. Like they play the same. So. Hey. Atlanta jumped from 10. New Orleans jumped from 10 for Zion. Like, it happens. It's there. Wow. Breaking news right now, everyone.
Wow.
Breaking news right now.
Oh. Wow.
All right. Trailblazers and coach Chauncey Billups agreed to a multi-year extension. This is the title for the video right now.
Okay, wow. We just talked about it. I said we'd be meh if it happened, but not really wanting it. Oh, that just makes me feel...
I'm fine with it. I'm cool with it.
It's just...
He's tied to these players, man.
I guess, but it's just kind of like... That's crazy. That's going to make circles on Blazers, Twitter, Blazers, just social media. There's going to be some crazy reactions to that.
What timing, too. We're about to end this pod, so it's going to be the first...
See, that's where it's like the Blazers know they're going to get backlash, because it's a Sunday morning at 8:25 in Portland. So they're like, no one's going to talk about it for a day. I guess the best time to drop news, if you don't want anything to be talked about, is Friday afternoon. But a Sunday morning at 8:30.
Hey, I am okay with it. I think he has a big role in the confidence of our guys. I think he's been huge for Scoot's kind of turnaround. I think, like, look, he's a point guard. I think he checks the boxes of, like, the experience, not experience as a coach, but, like, the makeup of, like, a coach. Like, he was a player. He's won a championship. He was a guard. He played defense. And, Cole, I think we gotta just be honest with ourselves. Like, this Blazer team was the best Blazer team we've had since Dame.
I just think it's a bit of a settle to do it right now. Maybe, again, we don't know, but you got good coaching options out there. I would have liked to survey the market a little bit. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not in the GM room, but
I mean, look.
That's crazy, dude. Wow, on the pod right as we're finishing up. Jeez, I wonder if people are going to even be able to stay this long to hear it.
The Blazers are 22nd in defensive rating this year, which you would think is bad, and it is, because we're a bad team. But when's the last time we were that high?
If redoing Joe was like a B, this feels just like a C plus, just a little worse, but like nothing catastrophic or like I can't believe we did that. I'm like a 45% approval rating.
Well, I need to digest that, because I'm trying to think of like why we would do it, what the motivations were. Like, are we rewarding him for a 35-win season? Are we like, did we have had this promised if he had like shown?
Like, what maybe, the? That's maybe, so weird.
Maybe Joe was like, we're going to extend, like, I will extend you if like I see some tangible progress. And that's why he wanted to coach his ass off. Don't say anything on the record right now that you're going to regret. You got to just take a breather.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I think my reaction will stay the same. Not terribly salty about it, but I'm not jumping for joy excited thinking this is going to change anything. Like, it's just okay. Sure. Chauncey's our coach again. Chauncey's going to get like 6. He can get like 6-7 years in Portland, bro. That's crazy.
That's a tough one there. Yeah, but I think for Scoot's confidence, for shit, like, I think Scoot, Shaden, even like, I mean, Klingon, too. I mean, look, I think Chauncey is going to coach the Blazers in a playoff series. Because I think if we fire Chauncey.
You better.
I agree with that. But if he fires, like, if we fire Chauncey, it's going to be that firing where like we're kind of there, but we got to change the leadership to get over the hump, like to get farther in the playoffs, you know, kind of like what the Bucks did when they won a championship and then fired Bud and hired Doc. I'm just kidding.
No, they fired Bud, hired that dude, that coach.
Oh,
for like
Adrian
30
Griffin.
Days,
oh my God. Gosh. Bro, low key, Giannis doesn't get enough. Like Giannis is turning into like LeBron a little bit. Like, he just gets coaches fired.
Yeah, well, honestly, that's going to do it for the pod. I'm honestly probably going to upload that clip to Twitter or Instagram and just us live reaction to the Chauncey hiring. That's
an all-timer there.
I don't think that's ever happened live on the pod. And most people in Portland probably already went up. This is why you do it. I mean, jeez, what a weird time to announce it. Knowing that it's about to be the biggest day in golf history. Maybe not that much. But okay, that's going to do it for the pod, guys. Thank you guys for watching. Let us know what you think about the Chauncey hiring. And also, I'm sure we're going to get a bunch of comments that say, Chauncey got hired, Chauncey got hired, because they comment at minute 10 of the pod and don't watch until 35. But yeah, yep. That's going to do it. Thanks for watching. We will see you guys next time. Peace out.